Genesis 35. I want to read some from this chapter and then two other chapters about Jacob's coming of age. Genesis 35, verse 7. Jacob returns to Bethel at the command of God, and it says in verse 7, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God was revealed unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. And Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the oak, and the name of it was called Allon Bakuth. And now, at verse 16, and they journeyed from Bethel, and there was still some distance to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, for now thou shalt have another son. And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, the same is Bethlehem. And Jacob set up a pillar upon her grave, the same is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. Verse 27. And Jacob came unto Isaac, his father, to Mamre, to Kiriath Arba, the same as Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost, and died, and was gathered unto his people, old and full of days. And Esau and Jacob his sons buried him. Now chapter 48. Verse 7. As for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died by me in the way, in the land of Canaan, when there was still some distance to come unto Ephrath, and I buried her there in the way to Ephrath. The same is Bethlehem. Chapter 49. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Every one according to his blessing he blessed them. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that is therein, which was purchased from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of charging his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed, and yielded up the ghost, and was gathered unto his people. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, thou dost know how brief the accounts of the lives of some of the chiefest saints are, as recorded in thy word, and yet all the essentials are there. They are born, they live, they marry, they have children, they die. We are thankful that thou dost give us in concise form something like our lives are to be. Some more expanded, some more abbreviated. We thank you for all these accounts, and we desire to have our hearts blessed this night from the portion that we have read. Make us clean, our Father. Thou hast promised to do this if we confess our sins. We do. And prepare the hearts of those who hear and the lips of him who speaks. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Genesis chapter 35 is a death chapter. Genesis 5 has more deaths. That's full of deaths. Only one escapes death. But in Genesis 35, in comparison to other chapters, it is a death chapter. And so a man has many sorrows to face in his life, but if he lives long enough, eventually people are going to start dying around him. It seems to be this way as you get older. When you are young, you are not familiar with many people, and if they die, your parents do not tell you about them. It isn't discussed. But then, as you get older and you go into service, you hear about some that you went to school with. They begin to die. And then, if you have been preaching, then those older ones to whom you preach, then they begin to die, and you have to take their funerals, and it goes on and on. And so Jacob now is beginning to experience the bitterness of people dying all about him. And in this chapter that we have, three deaths are recorded. The death of Deborah, and this is so interesting because Deborah is first introduced to us 127 years before. And Deborah, who was the nurse of his mother, Rebecca, and I cannot go into it now, has come and joined Jacob. And now, after how many soever years she was with him, finally this old woman dies. And so, here is a man who is connected with the past, his mother, through her maid, and now this contact with the past is taken away, and this woman dies, and so he is broken from that. Not long after, the wife that he loves more than anyone else in the world, she dies. And so that is a break with the present. And yet, a break with the experience that he had had with Laban, his uncle, his wife's father. This experience, there is a break with that past, not the distant past, but the past of 30 years ago. And so that occurs. And then, not in the same year, but 13 years later, even though it's recorded in the same chapter, his father, Isaac, dies. And then that is a complete break of all of the past. And at this time, Jacob becomes of age. Now, most of us talk about becoming of age when we are 21 years old. Jacob finally became of age when he reached 120. He had to wait that long because God started with choosing one particular man, Abraham, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born, and he lived another 75 years, and so Isaac became of age when his father Abraham died at 175. And so Isaac came of age at 75. Why? Because he replaced his father. There was the patriarch Abraham, and he is in the ascendancy and is supreme And so he dies, but then Abraham dies, and then Isaac comes upon the scene. And then Isaac lives 180 years, and his son Jacob was born when he was 60 years old, and so now Isaac dies, and Jacob comes of age at 120 years. Because even though the old man was incapacitated and blind, still he was the living patriarch. Abraham had died, and now Isaac is upon the scene. But now that Isaac has died, now it is Jacob. And this is what happens. We hear of the God of Abraham, and then Isaac is born, and we hear of the God of Abraham and of Isaac, and then Abraham and Isaac die, and Jacob comes of age, and we hear of the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. And this is what is going to happen. Death is going to come upon us all. It is inevitable. Think of the old man Abraham. He lives 175 years, but finally he dies. And think of Isaac. He lives 180 years, but finally he dies. And then death also comes to Jacob when he is 147 years. But even though these patriarchs seem to live on and on, eventually death comes, and we have to be prepared to deal with it. And I wonder if you are. Do you think that your father and mother shall live forever? That your wife, that your children shall live forever? Now, what is different about this chapter is the fact that while it's quite normal for someone to bury a woman, and I conjecture that Deborah must have been 145 to 50 years of age. That is understandable. And I know that Isaac was 180 years of age, but Rachel was still a young woman. Jacob had only lived with her for 30 years. Now, this is something that is exceptional. All of us, since we are younger than our parents, if things go naturally, we can expect to bury a father and a mother. But what is unnatural is when we have to bury someone who is so young. And Jacob is he who has to bury his mother's maid. Yes, I can deal with that. That's supposed to happen. And I can bury my father because he's 180 years of age. But then it comes to burying those that are young, and that is heartbreaking. And there is a death that Jacob experienced that was not actual, but he experienced it. Do you remember when his brothers sold his son Joseph into Egypt, and they did not know how to bring this to the attention of their father, and so they took his coat of many colors and dipped it in blood and brought it to their father and said, "Do you recognize this coat?" And then Jacob rent his clothes, and he began mourning, and he said, "This is my son Joseph's coat. No doubt he is devoured by a wild beast. I shall go down to the grave lamenting and mourning for my son Joseph." And so that is exceptional. And so here is one that he had the experience of sorrow for his death, and he did not die. But Jacob is one who was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Unlike our Lord, he brought ever so much of it upon himself. But in this instance, it is undeserved, because I believe that Rachel brought it upon herself. These deaths, it's expected that this woman die if she reaches 140 or 50 years of age, but that his wife should die so young, no. That his father should die at 180 years of age, yes, that is quite in order. But then that his son should be taken away from him, why, that is something that broke his heart. And so we have to be prepared in life, eventually, to let our fathers and mothers go. And I can remember this. I can remember when I was left alone, because my father died when I was 14 years old, And then in 1969, my mother died, and I was the only one left. My sister had died in 1960, and my father earlier, and my mother, and I was the only one left. And then there is aloneness that you feel, because even though my mother was old and had a heart condition, I could still go over to her house and talk to her about the past, and somehow she was the one who was the aged one, and she represented the past, and that's the way it was. But finally, when she was gone, then here I was left alone, and now everyone looked at me. I remember preaching years ago, and this is the way it used to be done. At the old gospel chapel, they would have an older brother to speak first, and then they would have a younger man to speak. And so I used to speak with Luther Wilson and Jimmy Chapel, and so we had an older brother and a younger brother. And then when I went into the full-time work, I used to speak with older men. I remember there was Will Pell and Peter Pell and Robert Little. I would speak with these older men at conferences. And then there was a conference not too long ago, and I found out who the other speaker was, a young man, and I said to him, I said, "What is the matter with these conveners?" I said, "In years past, they had an old man and a young man, and now look at the ones that they have invited to this conference." I said, "Why have they changed things?" And the fellow looked at me and he said, "They haven't." I simply stayed around, and now they were doing things the way they did in the past. And now, while I used to think of Jimmy Chapel and Peter Pell and these other old men, I was the young man and they were the old man. Now I was looking at these young men and they were looking at me as the old man. And I'm only just about 57 years old. And so now I'm the old man. And that is what eventually happens. And so Jacob now cannot talk to the nurse about his mother, and that is so important. There are things that I could remember about my mother, my experiences with her, but of course she was of a certain age and I didn't know about her past. But what about those who were brought up with my mother? And I was speaking to a lady who's almost 90 years of age, and she remembered playing with my mother when she was a little girl. And so now, in the past, Jacob could go and say to Deborah, "Tell me how things were when my mother was a little girl. What did she play with? What did she enjoy?" And so Deborah could tell him all the things about his mother before he knew anything about her. And then this nurse that he loved so much, even though she's become aged, she dies and he hates to go. And now there's no one to tell him about the past. And now, instead of his going to the nurse and asking about things in the past, now other people are going to come to him and ask him about the past. And he would say, "I learned this from my mother's nurse, Deborah." And so, each time someone dies, something that is tender and of value is taken away from us. And so, we live with another. The nurse is gone, but I have my wife. But then, as they are going along the way, he's making his way back home to his aged father. On the way, his wife now has come with child, and it's time for her to break forth. And before they get to Bethlehem, before this happens, she's in hard labor, and she dies. Now, this is what I want you to know, that Jacob, after this, lived 40 more years. But when Jacob died at 147 years of age, he remembered exactly what had happened before. He said, "That long ago, as I was on my way, just before I got to the town," he said, "Rachel died, and I buried her. Think of that. 40 years later, and he remembered all those things. And let me bring this to your attention. We are not told about the death of Leah, Rachel's sister, but he remembers that as well. And so at times God does this. He does not in chronological order tell us things any more than this. Had you read in Genesis 24 about Rebecca's nurse, you would not have known what her name was. But you only find out her name when she dies in chapter 35. And we knew nothing about how long Leah lived, but we only know that she died and that Jacob had buried her. And so some things you learn later in the scriptures and you relate them to the past. And so now he remembers all these years later about the death of the one that he loved most. And so his heart is broken because there are some things that men love and men are not always likable people. I do not know if I would have enjoyed being around Jacob. You have read of his life, and yet Jacob was a man who had the capacity to love this woman enough to serve for her 7 years. And it said his love for her was so great that they seemed unto him but a few days. He had great love for this woman, Rachel, his wife. And when she was taken away, it reminds me of that man Ezekiel. If you read about Ezekiel, he is a strange man. But it says this, God says, I'm going to take away the delight of thine eyes with a stroke. And some of us know that God graciously has given us a woman who can love us, and perhaps she is the one who can love us other than our mother. And God says, now I'm taking away the delight of your eyes. And Jacob, I have given you Rachel for 30 years, and now I'm going to take her away from you. And Ezekiel was not permitted to mourn or lament, but Jacob was, and he buried his wife. And so we have sorrow and sorrow and sorrow. But it is nothing exceptional. Understand, your father is going to die, your mother, your wife, your children. They will die before you, they will die after you. Unless the Lord comes or they happen to be in Enoch, they're all going to die. And so you have to prepare for these things. How to deal with death, and you have to prepare how to deal with death yourself. It is appointed unto men once to die. And so you have to prepare yourself with salvation to face your Savior, cleansed by his precious blood. But you have to prepare also how to deal with the sorrow that comes into your life when death comes upon us. Because do not look at God and say, why? From the time that sin came into the world, for as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. And God said, dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And so the pronouncement has been made, and we can expect that. Indeed, let the Lord come. But if he does not come, we're all going to die, sooner or later. And some of us older will bury the younger, and some of us younger will bury the older, and their reversals. We never know exactly how this is. And so I think of two blows that fell upon Jacob, because in the same year, Deborah died, and then before he reached his destination, his wife Rachel died. And the word Alon Bakuth means the oak of weeping, the oak of sorrow. This is because his mother's nurse died, and there was sorrow in his heart when she died. But the sorrow that you experience when an old friend of your mother dies is different from the sorrow one would experience when a wife died, or when a child, such as Joseph, whom Jacob thought had died. They're all different sorrows. All of them a sorrow, and yet each one is a different sorrow. And so Jacob has this sorrow of having Deborah, his mother's nurse, die. And then he has the sorrow of Rachel, the wife whom he so dearly loved, die. And now God gives him 13 years before the next death in this chapter occurs. And I thought of this verse of scripture. The Apostle Paul in Philippians is speaking about Epaphroditus. Yea, he was sick nigh unto death, But God had mercy upon him, and not upon him only, but upon me also, that I might not have sorrow upon sorrow. And suppose in this chapter, in the same year, his mother's nurse had died, and his wife had died, and his father had died. Perhaps that would have been too much for the man. And so God knows our frame. He understands that we are dust. And who would have thought that Jacob was so strong as to have the sorrow of Deborah being taken, and then the sorrow of Rachel being taken. But then God lets him get home to his aged father and live with him 13 years before he dies. Now, God was very gracious to Abraham. God let Abraham live to 175 years of age, and he let him see his son Isaac born, and then he let him see Isaac's son Jacob born, and he lived until Jacob was 15 years old. And so he saw one son and one grandson in the line. And now God graciously lets Isaac see his son Jacob. But remember, Jacob has left 30 years ago, and Isaac has seen no offspring from the promised seed, from him who has received the blessing. He's gone. He knows not what's happened to his son. But now, as in the case of Abraham, he sees Isaac and he sees Jacob. Now, Jacob comes home to his aged father 30 years later, and he brings home 13 grandchildren for his father to see. 13 that are named, perhaps more. But the 12 sons, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Dinah. 12 sons and one daughter that are named. And so Isaac, who did not know if he would ever see his son again, he comes and sees his son, and he sees 13 grandchildren. And this is how gracious God is, to let us see things that we did not know we would see. And then, one of the most touching scenes in the Bible is when Jacob is brought into the presence of Joseph, and he said, I had not expected to see thy face. And then, the last time of his meeting, he said, I had not expected to see thy face, and God hath given it to me to see the face of thy children. And so God has sorrowful things in store for us, but he has good things in store as well. Some sorrows we do not expect to come upon us, like the death of our wife, the death of an old maid, yes, of our mother's nurse, yes. But my wife, why, she's still young. And remember, she would be some 40 years younger than Jacob. I'll tell you about that sometime. But you do not expect that sorrow. But sorrow comes to those that you expect to outlive you. If your wife were 40 years younger, you would expect her to bury you. But you bury her. And even though Leah was young as well, not 40 years younger, but somewhat older than Rachel, still, he buried her, and he lived on and on, and all of these loved ones are dying, and that is the exception. But finally, the time comes that he gets back to his father, and at this time, here is what is so remarkable. When Jacob comes home, Jacob is 107 years of age, and his father is 60 years older. And so he's 167 years old. God let him continue in his blindness all these years. And now, this man in his blindness, as he said, the voice is the voice of Jacob. And now this son, 30 years later, returns home. And he says, Father. And he says, is that my son Jacob? And he says, yes, Father. This time I'm not deceiving you. It is thy son Jacob. And this old man gets to hear his son's voice again and to feel the hair and the size of his grandchildren. And God gives Jacob 13 years with his old aged father. Now, here is what is of importance, and I think of it. The joys that God gives us in causing some to live long enough to survive until we come home. And I think of this. I think of the time that I came home and what I talked about when I came home. I had been gone a mere 2 years, and I came home, and I had so many things to tell those older one, whom I left 2 years before. And now Jacob comes home, and he has so many things to tell and to hear that he could not tell his father 30 years before. Because when Jacob left home, his name was Jacob. And now he can say, Father, do you know that my name is now Israel? Israel, I never gave you that name. Your name is Jacob. Your brother's name is Esau. Yes, Father, but I have seen the face of God. As your father Abraham told you about God that revealed himself to him, then you had a revelation, and you could say, Father, I have had a revelation of the God that revealed himself to you. When I left home, Father, I was 77, and in all those years, I had never seen God. God had never revealed himself to me. But at Bethel, God revealed himself to me, and he has revealed himself to me again and again. And now, Father, all that you told me about, I have experienced, and your God is my God. And now he is the God of Abraham and of Isaac, and he is also the God of Jacob as well. That's the glorious thing to hear if a child returns. He went away, unfamiliar with God. He comes home and he tells his father, your God is my God. He is everything you told me. And that is the important thing. And I came home, and that is the most important message that I brought back. I went away Jacob, but thank God I came home Israel. And that is what I wanted to tell all of these old people. And I can remember how ludicrous it was at this time. My old grandmother, I came back and I said, Grandmother, have you ever received the Lord Jesus as Savior? Son, I've known about him before you were ever thought about. Yes, I said, but Grandma, I want you to get down on your knees and I want to hear you say that you trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior. Son, what are you telling me to do? But I wanted to be sure that my grandmother was saved. And I came back and I spoke to my grandmother and my aunts and my uncles, and I spoke to my sister. I spoke to all these friends that had known me in the past, and I spoke to them as Israel and not as Jacob. And when I came back, it is I who came back to a mother who was unsaved. And I came home saved. When he left, it was Isaac who knew God, but Jacob did not know God. And now Jacob comes home and says, I know the God that you know. But when I came home to introduce my mother and my sister and my loved ones to the God that they did not know when I left home. And God let my mother live long enough to say, Son, your Savior is my Savior. And God let me live long enough, even though my father died, to hear a friend who knew of my father when he was sick and dying. There was this minister who went and spoke to my father, and he related to me a confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that came from my father. Think of the goodness of God in letting me hear that. To come home and tell my mother of salvation and to hear her say, Son, I believe in Jesus Christ the Lord, to hear my sister confess faith in Christ, and then to hear that God graciously had sent someone to my father when he was dying and had spoken to him about the Lord Jesus. And so when you come home, you have things to tell them of joy, and they have things to tell you of joy as well. And so death is going to come, but it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, we sorrow not even as others who have no hope. And I have the hope of seeing my mother and my father and my sister and my grandmother and all those loved ones. You see, I will see them because the Savior went and prepared a place for them, and they are there. And if he does not come, I shall go there. And while I shall see him, I shall see them as well. And so sorrow may come in at the night, but joy cometh in the morning. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that there is no life like the life that thy Son came that we might have and have it more abundantly. We are thankful that thy Spirit did draw us, and we ran after him. And now all things are ours. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessings of earth and the blessings of heaven are ours. And the blessed joy of forever being with the Lord and all our loved ones who have received Christ as Savior, as we have received Christ as Savior. We thank you for strength to endure sorrow, as well as strength and happiness to enjoy the pleasant things of life. Thou art a God of the mountains, and thou art a God of the valleys, and thou art our God and Father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the God of me. We thank you, our Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.